come see a man who told me everything that I ever did. So here we go. We're continuing in the Gospel of John. We read about the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. She met Jesus. He knew everything about her. He revealed her sin, knew she was married five times previous, and that she was living with a guy who was not her husband. And the woman was amazed by that. She perceived that he was a prophet. So let's pick it up here in verse 27 of chapter 4 in the Gospel of John. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?" So the disciples, they went shopping. They were going to pick up some food. They were tired and they were hungry. And now they come back and they see Jesus conversing with this woman, a Samaritan woman. And they were puzzled for sure because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans and vice versa. But it says, yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" In other words, like, what are you looking for? or say to Jesus, "Why are you talking with her?" That's what they were thinking, but no man said it. Isn't that something? They knew better. They knew Jesus was who he said he was, and so they were still learning, is the best way to put it. They didn't get the light as to what was going on with the gospel of Jesus Christ, even though they knew that the Lord was the Messiah. So they were still not understanding that the Lord is going to be saving Jewish and Gentile people. John 4:28-30, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. So, no small thing here, ladies and gentlemen, that the woman left her water pot. You gotta remember, this is why she came to the well in the first place. You know, you go to the well, and it probably had a hook that you put your own water pot on, you lower it, and you get the water, and you go back to town, wherever you live. So it's not a small thing that she left her water pot there. She took off. Now, she saw the disciples coming, obviously. My guess is that she perceived also their countenance or the looks on their faces, you know, like, why are you talking with her? But the Lord was basically done conversing with her. So she immediately took off. She left her water pot there. So then she goes back to town. And look what she says. She says, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did." Now, the men in the city, the town, they were obviously struck by what she was saying. She was probably really being emotional about the whole thing. This is the power of a testimony. When somebody comes in contact with Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian and you've been truly born again of the Spirit, you can't hold it in. I mean, that's how it was with me. You cannot hold it in. You know Christ for the first time in your life. So here's the woman. She's telling the men, come see a man. Come see this guy. And then listen to what she says. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Messiah? Now think about that. The Lord came to save souls. He came to his own people, but his own received him not. So here we have Christ coming, and at a point in time, ladies and gentlemen, I must say once again, you know, the Lord came at a specific point in time. It was prophesied. So these teachings today that tell you the Jewish people, because they rejected him, now it's postponing. God will deal with them later at a different time. Don't buy that. That's a false teaching. I'll flat out say it, folks. It's false. He came. The Lord came at a special point in time, a specific point in time, and he's preaching to Jew and he's preaching to Gentiles. Oh, yes. So keep in mind that the Lord spoke to this woman about the gift of God. He was talking about the living water. Okay. Not only that, obviously revealed himself to that woman as the Messiah. Think about this. The Jewish people rejected him. He goes to the synagogues. They don't want anything to do with him. But here's a woman that's open to the truth of the gospel. This five times married Gentile Samaritan woman. So this is amazing stuff, folks. And don't forget, she said, is this not the Christ? Is this not the Messiah? That's what the word Christ means. So this woman was shown mercy, ladies and gentlemen. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Look at that. Same words. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is a gift, ladies and gentlemen, that is offered to you. It is offered to all. It is offered to Gentiles. It is offered to Jews. It boils down to what you will do with the person of Jesus Christ. So the Lord knew everything about that woman. Now, you remember Nathanael, he had an experience with the Lord. And let's go look at John chapter 1, verses 47 to 49. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no guile or hypocrisy. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Like, in other words, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. So right then and there, folks, here's Nathanael. He was sitting under a fig tree. Nobody was around, probably. Definitely Jesus was not there. And he asked Jesus, how do you know me? So Jesus said, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. And that startled Nathanael, and that's why he said, this guy knows things that nobody else knows. And he said, Rabbi, or master, teacher, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, those are words, by the way, that the Jewish people, they despise using those words, addressing Jesus as being the Son of God, or addressing Jesus as being the King of Israel. So here's a man that said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, and you are the King of Israel, which he is. So I want you to see, folks, this was 2,000 years ago, basically. So the Lord was revealing himself, okay? He was accepting the fact he was addressed as the Son of God. He was addressed as the King of Israel. He didn't tell Nathanael, stop that now. That's not me. You're speaking to somebody else. No, he was the Son of God, and he was the King of Israel. So basically, when it comes to the Lord, you know, here's the deal. There are only two answers, folks. Either you believe, you know, the question is, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and that he's the King of Israel? You're either going to answer yes or no. Okay, so it's what you do, whoever you are. You're the listener. What will you do with Jesus Christ? Is he the King of Israel? Is he the Son of God? It's very simple. Let's get back now to John chapter 4, verses 30 to 34. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, or asked him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught or anything to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat or food is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Heavy duty stuff here. So it's very clear that Jesus was talking about the true spiritual food, the very thing that kept him moving. And he's making it clear that this food, which he was talking about, was more important than the physical food. You know, the food that brings nourishment to our bodies. His food was to do the will of the Father, okay? And I want you to understand something here, folks. Jesus Christ is not the Father, okay? So he wanted to do the will of the Father. He was constantly in communication with the Father. Keep in mind, folks, the scriptures are the word of God. So remember Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Let's read that now. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So there's the same principle, folks. Jesus is saying this. He's quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, by the way. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So when the disciples came back and says, Master, you know, eat something. You must be hungry. Okay? So physically, he probably was hungry. He was thirsty. So he's telling them, look, I have food to eat. You don't know anything about it. So this is what he's talking about here. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the scriptures, they fit together perfectly, Old and New Testament. Remember Job, the man that had all those trials in his life, and he knew the power of the word of God also. Look at this, Job chapter 23, verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Wow. Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 15, verse 16. What did he say? Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So Jeremiah, sometimes called the weeping prophet, he was exalting the written word of God. He says, thy words were found, I ate them. How do you eat words? Again, we're talking spiritually, folks. This is the beauty of the Word of God. This is the beauty of the Scriptures. When I was born again, I probably could have said the same thing. I couldn't put the book down. If you're a Christian, you could relate to what I'm telling you. You started reading the Bible, whereas before you never read it before. You're eating the words of God. It's spiritual food. It's life inside your soul. Hallelujah. So that is the deal with that. So that's what the will of God is, folks. That's what the Lord was talking about. He wanted to do the will of the Father. So now, let's go back. John chapter 4, verses 35 to 38. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. I like that. So what the Lord's basically saying is, you know, folks, you preach the word of God, you share the gospel with others, but you have no idea what was going on in that person's life before they made contact with you. Perhaps somebody else was sharing the word with them or praying for them, and you're entering into the labors of other people. I've seen this myself, you know, witness to people on the street, and people will tell you, you know, somebody else just told me the same thing you told me. Or they'll say, you know, my mother's been telling me this for years, and we'd often say, especially if they're young, your mom is praying for you. You see, and trust me, they are, or they were. So this is what the Lord is talking about. He's talking about a harvest. He's talking about the field of souls, ladies and gentlemen. This world that we live in, it is a field of souls, precious souls, the majority of whom are marching down the highway to hell. And I was one of those souls, ladies and gentlemen, and so were you. You know, every person who's been genuinely saved, born again of the Spirit, you were marching toward hell until you made contact with the true gospel, and you were born again of the Spirit. And perhaps you're not saved today. You're just listening out of curiosity. Well, there's good news for you. You too can be saved. You're part of the field of souls, and God's offering you salvation just like he did to that Samaritan woman. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city, believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. I cannot stress the importance, ladies and gentlemen, of your testimony, your own personal testimony. Your testimony is not my testimony. My testimony is not your testimony, okay? I remember when I was baptized, you know, one of the main pastor had us step out. He says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, let's go, you're going to testify. He never even asked our testimony prior to that. And he said, come on, let's go, give your testimony. You're getting baptized, let's hear your testimony. So I was number 5. I listened to the first 4, and I was like blown away by their testimonies. They were much different than mine. Some of them came out of different religions and so on and so forth. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I was just a Roman Catholic. So, but the deal is this, folks. Their testimony was not my testimony. My testimony was not their testimony. But there is power in a testimony. And this is what has taken place here. The Samaritans, it says, many, not a few, believed on Christ because of what this woman said. So as I said before, she must have spoke with such passion because she had some type of an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, met him face to face. Verse 40, so when the Samaritans would come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Wow. You know, I always joke, and I'll say it again, if there are videos in heaven, this is one video I'd love to see. You know, you get to heaven, you'll be able to come in contact with these people and say, what was that like when you met the Lord that day? So here, think about this. These people were hungry for the word of God. They were hungry for the truth. And now they besought, they asked Jesus, could you stay with us? Could you teach us? He stayed with them for 2 days. Can you imagine the back and forth that went on between them, the questions that might have been asked, and how the Lord was answering their questions? And it got to the point where they said, now we believe, not because of thy saying, meaning the woman, we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ or the Messiah, the Savior of the world. That's powerful, folks. I don't care what anybody says. So keep in mind, folks, this happened approximately 2,000 years ago. So Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, walked in this world, ladies and gentlemen. There's no postponement. It's open to Jew. It's open to Gentile. It's what you do with the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So they tasted and they saw that the word of God is good, that God is good. Hallelujah. And what a beautiful thing that happened. So the Old Testament, as I said, it flows beautifully into the New. They knew that he was Christ, the Messiah. They knew he was the Savior of the world. And there's only one Savior. Old Testament, Isaiah 43:11. I, even I, am the Lord. And beside me, there is no Savior. Listen carefully. That's from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Who was talking there? You know who's talking there, folks? The same Christ that I serve today. There's one Lord, one Savior. Glory to God. He says, I, even I, am the Lord. Beside me, there is no Savior. Let's fast forward to the New Testament. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. The Apostle Paul speaking. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Let me stop there before I continue. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, God can't lie, folks, he promised before the world began. Verse 3, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus mine own son after the common faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, our Savior. So the Savior in the Old Testament, folks, and the Savior in the New Testament is one person. His name is Jesus Christ. The people in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, if they were saved and serving the Lord, they were serving the same Lord and Savior that I'm serving today. Glory to God. Don't ever forget that. John chapter 4, verses 43 and 44. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. So what's taking place there? He's heading back to Galilee, and he's saying right here, a prophet. Now, he's talking about himself. Obviously, he's more than a prophet. He's the Son of God, the Messiah. But he knows that those who are preaching the word of God have no honor in their own country. The Jewish people, for the most part, rejected him. They would not have him. And now he's heading back to Galilee. If you remember from chapter 1, John, chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, or children of God, even to them that believe on his name. You can become a child of God, ladies and gentlemen. Turn to the Lord and believe in him. The Bible says repent and believe the gospel. You will be born again of the Spirit if you're doing it, obviously, from your heart and you're truly believing. You can become a child of God. You're receiving Christ. So it says he came into his own. That's speaking of his own Jewish people. The majority rejected him. And that's what that scripture is all about. Okay, John chapter 4, verse 45. Then when he was coming to Galilee, the Galileans received him. Look at that. They received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So here's a group of people. They received him. They didn't reject him because they saw what was done. They knew this man was who he said he was, operating in such great power. My, oh, my. Verse 46, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Wow, what power. Think about this. The Lord is able to speak. And all he said to the man's a son, he cared for his son, he was at the point of death, okay? And Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. So the man is saying, sir, please come down before my child dies. And so what did the Lord say? Go your way. He's okay. He lives. And that's exactly what took place. Verse 51, and as he was now going down, so here's this man heading back home, and his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So what a powerful miracle that took place. The Lord told this man, look, your son's okay, he lives. He's on his way home, and he meets his servants, and they're running, saying, hey, look, your son's alive, your son's alive, he's okay. So he says, what time, when did he get healed? And he told him what time. They told him what time it was, and it was the exact time that Jesus told them that he was alive. Is that not amazing? Isn't it amazing? Just the word that goes forth out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. The Lord uses people too, uses Christians. Many years ago, you know, I remember we were living down south, but then we came up north. We were up there for a few weeks or maybe a month, I think. And one of Kathy's uncle, I think he had a stroke. Anyway, he was in a coma. And we wanted to go pray for him because, you know, we figured we're going to pray and pray for the best. So we went there. I think it was Brookdale Hospital in Brooklyn. And we went upstairs to the room. We were praying for him. He was out, you know. And we just prayed for him and, you know, gave him the gospel. I did the same with my own uncle who was in a coma at one time. You know, and basically he didn't wake up or anything. But no sooner did we get done praying, you know, there's a curtain. It was a room that was shared by two patients. It was a curtain, and when we were done praying, a voice from the other side of the curtain said, "Boy, I wish somebody would pray for me like that." I was like, "Whoa!" So, you know, we walked out from the what we could see. We walked over to his side of the curtain and said, "I'd be happy to pray. We'd be happy to pray for you." You know, and we asked him what his problem was. He had pain in his leg, and it was pretty bad. So, you know, we laid hands on him and we prayed for him and said, you know, "Lord, have mercy upon this man, help him and heal him." And, you know, we're done praying. And the man's exact words to us were, "Boy, that was quick." So apparently the Lord touched him. That was it, you know. And that worked quick is what he said. So obviously he had pain and he didn't feel the pain anymore. This is the way it works. And it was a divine appointment. So we're praying for Kathy's uncle. Meanwhile, the guy on the other side of the bed, the screen there, the curtain, he asked for prayer. So you never know what the Lord is going to do, folks, when you're out there, even with your own families. Just pray. He will use you. You got the Holy Ghost if you're a Christian. You've been bought with a price. You've been washed in the blood. May the Lord just grant you boldness to do what he desires you to do. So we're going to end it here. And next time around, God willing, we'll hit John chapter 5. Be blessed.